going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
With the 30th pick in the 2025 NFL Draft, the Buffalo Bills select Maxwell Harrison. Let's go!
And this offense needs to get out to the 49-yard line to move the chains, eludes the pressure, and picks it off! A pick six! He eluded the sacks, but Max Hairston's there to take it to the house, 29 yards. Intercepted, it's Hairston again, off the carom. Is he going to do it again? Another pick six!
Max Hairston, the Buffalo Bills' forever entrenched first-round pick of 2025. You heard the call there? You also heard Tommy Paramiso up at the podium last night announcing the pick for the Buffalo Bills. Great job, Tommy. The Bills get the fastest player, as far as the 40-yard dash is concerned, at least, in the NFL draft, and as far as the combine is concerned. But I don't know if there's anybody faster anyway that wasn't at the combine, to be quite honest with you. So they get the fastest player in the NFL draft, 4.28 40-yard dash. A year after getting crushed by a lot of fans, a lot of media for trading out of a pick that wound up being Xavier Worthy, the fastest ever at the combine. This year, they take that player, albeit at a different position. The fastest player. A position that they have definitely needed. It's been on the radar for sure. A position that can come in immediately and at least compete for a starting job. We'll see where it goes. That's obviously to be determined. And a player that adds something the Buffalo Bills desperately needed from their secondary, more speed, and an ability to take the ball away, which you heard right there. A couple of different touchdowns in the same game against Vanderbilt in 2023. Welcome into the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you. Good to be with you here on post-draft day. Post-draft day number one, I guess. Post-day one draft. However, because tonight we got another two rounds to go. And tonight, the Bills are scheduled to pick 56 and 62. Two picks scheduled for the second round. I have just thrown a poll up on my Twitter X feed at Sal Sports. I threw a poll up about an hour ago, actually. What do you think the Bills will do with their 2 second-round picks? You have four options. Stay at both 56 and 62. Stay at 56, trade 62. Trade 56, stay at 62. Or trade both 56 and 62. So far, 1,200 of you have responded, and it's very, very close. Except for one, well, it's not, it's, I should say it that way. There's a runaway kind of leader, but every one of these choices is at least over 17%. And it's very close for the next three after the runaway leader, which right now is stay at 56 and 62. I think history shows the Bills will trade one of these. But they didn't trade last night, and Brandon Bean came out after the draft and said they had opportunity to trade. There were teams that were calling them as the Bills were on the clock or getting close to the clock. Teams that wanted to come up from the second round into the first round, or at least come up, I guess. He didn't necessarily say that. It could have been someone behind them. There were only a couple teams behind them. And you did see, by the way, I mean, Philly did jump one. Maybe it was Philly. Who knows? We don't know that. But the bottom line is Brandon Bean said they did have some opportunity and some chances to trade if they wanted to, but because the way the board fell, they felt very comfortable taking Max Hairston with their first overall pick, number 30 overall in the NFL draft. So what are we going to do today? Talk about it with you. 803-0550. Let's light up the phone lines. Your thoughts on Max Hairston as the Bills' first pick in the 2025 NFL draft. We can also get into what you think they should do coming up here tonight. I'll give you my thoughts. I did a mock draft yesterday. I had the Bills taking a defensive tackle, Tyreek Williams, and I actually thought maybe I was putting him too high because, as you know, I've been kind of focused more on the defensive line. I still think that's going to be a focus tonight now. But I had Tyreek Williams, and then I kept saying, yeah, I probably had Tyreek Williams a little high. If the Bills take him at 30, people are going to say that they may have reached for him. Well, guess what? He actually went before the Bills picked. Something I didn't expect. I figured if the Bills took him, you'd have some people go, yeah, fits the Bills, but maybe a little higher than what you would anticipated. I guess not, because Tyreek Williams, the excellent defensive tackle from Ohio State, actually went before the Bills. Kenneth Grant, a player that a lot of people thought could very well be on the Bills' radar, he went 13th overall to the Miami Dolphins, and a lot of people thought that was too high, but he's a good player. You know, if you like your player there, then you take him, right? And that's what the Dolphins did. The Jets, the Dolphins, the Patriots all take linemen. Will Campbell, offensive lineman, goes to the Patriots. Armon Menbu, offensive lineman, goes to the Jets. Kenneth Grant, defensive lineman, goes to the Miami Dolphins. And then here's the Bills taking a skill position player, not only just a skill position player on the outside and the secondary at corner, but also the fastest player in the 2025 NFL draft, Max Hairston. We got a chance to talk to Max Hairston after the draft. And on a Zoom call, we're going to play that for you here, most likely coming up at the bottom of the hour. I am chasing a Kentucky guest. I would like to get a Kentucky guest on the air, but when truth is, when you leave the media room, when the pick is made at 11:30 and you got a lot of work to do and you leave the media room at close to 2 a.m, which is what I did last night, there's not a lot of people still up around the country unless they're covering that particular team like us here in Buffalo or another team on the draft. So I sent a message out this morning to somebody who covers Kentucky athletics and Kentucky football and haven't heard back yet. So if and when we do and we can get somebody on, we will do that. But that leaves us time for phone calls anyway. So we'll do that today. 803-0550. Brandon Bean spoke right after the draft last night. We'll hear from him as well. So you'll get Brandon Bean, you'll get Max Hairston, and we'll take your phone calls here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. When we do take your calls, that's getting connected with our fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. All right, so Max Hairston, and I'm going to keep calling him Max, even though you see Maxwell, because he told us he preferred Max. It's okay to call him Maxwell, and maybe I'll call him that once in a while just by talking and seeing his name written. That's fine. Even the Bills tweeted out, Maxwell, that's his name. That's what he's been going by. That's what we see him, you know, in all of these draft, you know, write-ups and the process and all that. He did say last night, though, when asked specifically on the Zoom call, do you prefer, you know, Max or Maxwell? And he said Max. So we'll do that. His nickname is Mad Max. And why? Because he said when he was in Little League, he was smaller, but he was a ball of energy. And folks, you can just see it right now. He still is a ball of energy. I mean, really, that's, you know, something that he brings to the table, one of his traits. And you can tell that this is a guy that just has a lot of energy, loves being around people. And during the draft last night, he was congratulating all the other players coming in the green room with him that got drafted before him, dapping him up, giving him hugs, all those kinds of things. Just seemed like he was a very engaging, outgoing personality. And I think, you know, that matters to the Bills as far as the culture fit, right? We know that. How do you fit in the locker room? What kind of teammate are you? And just from that video, you see, like, this is a guy that he was so happy for everyone else, and that's very cool. And obviously, then you hear from him, you see him, and that kind of infectious energy reminds me a lot of, honestly, a guy who plays his position that we saw a lot of in his younger years, Tre'Davious White. And remember the Tre'Davious White Goalie Academy and all the different things Tre'Davious White, the ways that he would be with his infectious personality. Not as much so anymore after the injuries, things have changed, and, you know, Trey's back now. But it's ironic because here's a player the Bills also took in the first round at the same position. Now they bring back Tre'Davious White, and they're both going to basically be fighting for a starting job. When you look around the Buffalo Bills roster, if you put the starting 22 on a piece of paper and said, okay, where is there a spot where somebody actually, there's an open spot, like you don't know who to put there. Corner number two is one of them, and maybe the only one, quite honestly. You could argue and say you need another receiver, you need another safety, whatever, that's fine. I'm telling you here, like the Bills, if they laid out their starting 22 right now, you might have Tre'Davious White penciled in as a starting corner, but that would be a question mark. Who is there? They needed to find a guy. Well, they got a guy that they can come in and maybe play right away. There's no guarantees, though. Kyrie Elam was drafted in the first round at cornerback. He did not play right away, but Christian Benford did. He was a sixth-round pick in the same draft. Now it's up to Max Harrison to come in here and show that he can play and earn a job. It's about earning a job. And he's going to have a fight on his hands to do that with Tre'Davious White, with Dane Jackson. I think a lot of us will be rooting for Max Harrison to win that job because if he does, it represents something for the Buffalo Bills going forward. When Kyrie Elam didn't win the starting corner job after being selected in the first round, right away, flags went up and said, wait a minute, you just got beat out by a sixth-round pick in your own class. Now, if Harrison gets beat out by White or Dane Jackson, I don't think that's as egregious or as alarming. But you'd love for him to win the job because if he does, if Max Harrison comes in here and he wins a starting corner job and you know that's the starter over Tre'Davious White, over Dane Jackson, if that happens week one, you can probably project that him and Christian Benford are going to be the two starting corners for the next 5 years. And that's a big reason why I think the Bills did this as well. They locked up Christian Benford on a 4-year contract extension, so another 5 years. And here you take a young corner to balance out that extension with a rookie contract, let's remember, rookie 4-year contract, and you have a 5th-year option. So conceivably, you could have Christian Benford and Max Harrison for the next 5 years as your two starting outside corners. And that's a great proposition, but he's got to do it. He's got to come in here and he's got to show he can play. Through the draft process, this was a name that a lot of us had heard. I had heard. You had seen. A lot of people linked Max Harrison. The reason why I thought maybe the Bills wouldn't take Max Harrison, I think he checked a lot of boxes. I think he checked all the boxes they wanted for speed, for ball skills, athleticism, even length. He's not the biggest guy, but he's actually pretty long for a 5'11 guy. He's got like 31.5-inch arms, I believe. The one knock and the one reason why I didn't really think the Bills would do it is because the Bills really like to have corners who step up and support the run. That's been the biggest weakness and knock against his game. If you listen to Brandon Bean, though, after the draft, you understand that they're more comfortable with where he is there than maybe what we've read or seen or thought. And that's because Bean said he's a willing tackler. It is not out of lack of effort. He's just not big enough yet to necessarily do it the way you need him to do it. But he's going to get in the weight room. They'll get him bigger and stronger. And look, I don't think we're ever going to be talking about Max Harrison as some really physical corner on the outside supporting the run. And I think teams are going to probably target trying to run against him a little bit. And he's going to have to be able to defend bigger receivers and get them down on the ground. That might be something that happens his whole career. You hope that he gets better at it. You hope he stays willing at it. You hope that he gets stronger, bigger, whatever. It's going to be something. It could be something, though, that 3 years down the road, you're like, yeah, he's not a great tackler. The question is, can you live with that, though, with all the other things he can bring you? And I think the Bills have answered that question here by taking him. It's not the thing he's going to be asked to do the most. He's a corner. He's not a linebacker. Corners cover people. They go after the football. They defend the pass. It is a big part of what the Bills do as far as having a corner against the run, but it's not his primary job. And I think the Bills feel, hey, we're getting a guy here who's special in all the other things that really matter to being a corner. We can live with him not being great at this other thing. Tackling. Even though, again, I think the Bills really want their corners to do that. Again, I'll go back to Tre'Davious White. Tre'Davious White has never been a great tackler. Willing, but not great at it. Not super physical. They still made him the 27th overall pick in, 2017. And he turned out to be an All-Pro. So what do you think about the Max Harrison pick? Do you like it? Do you not like it? Is there someone else you would have taken when the Bills were on the board at pick number 30? What did you think about everything that was happening as the board was falling? I got some thoughts on the overall draft and where the Bills go from here. 803-0550. I'd like to hear from you. I know we had a bunch of calls on the morning show, so we'll do that here today as well on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. When the Bills were on the clock at 30, certainly Max Harrison was a name that I thought they could take. Trey Amos was a name, another corner that I thought they could go after. The guy I actually thought that I might be leaning, and I thought that they was higher up to me where they would lean here at that particular time, was Donovan Azaraku. He is a edge rusher from Boston College. And he had 16 and a half sacks a year ago at Boston College, led all of college football, I believe. And once the defensive tackles started going, and you had a few edge rushers still on the board, him being the most, to me, Mike Green is notable as well, but he's got some real serious allegations off the field. I thought Donovan Azaraku was very much in the mix. So now we get to day two, and he's still on the board. I think Donovan Azaraku could very well be a guy that the Bills could target. I just don't know if he gets to 56. Darius Alexander was another guy that I thought the Bills could target when they were on the board at 30. Some think that he is a first-round type of talent. Not going to say first-round grade, but, you know, considering some of the guys that went, that he could be in that mix with the, you know, Tyreek Williams of the world and guys like that. The issue with Darius Alexander from Toledo is he's 25 years old already. He's super athletic, though. I don't know how much that matters to a lot of teams. The Bills did take a 24 to 25-year-old running back last year in Ray Davis. He's 25 now. I think he turned 25 in November last year, if I remember right. But either way, they took an older running back. This is a little different, though, when it comes to defensive tackle. So I think there's always, you know, when you get to that point, it's, yeah, you like this, you like that, you like all these things about these guys, and then there's something over here you might not like or you might be concerned about. Sometimes it's health. Sometimes it's character. Could be 25 years old. I think for Max Harrison, it was tackling, physical. He's not super small, folks. I mean, he is, again, he's about the same size as Tre'Davious White. But in the NFL, when you're going against big offensive linemen and running backs who are, they can be smaller, they can be bigger. I mean, you have to make tackles. You bigger receivers, you got to make tackles sometimes. And that could be an issue for guys who are, you know, 192 pounds, which is what he told us he was last night. Will Johnson, another name that many thought the Bills could target when they got to pick number 30. He is the corner from Michigan. It is clear now that Will Johnson's knee issue is an issue for teams. Will Johnson was not drafted in the first round. And it just sucks for a kid like that, right? Will Johnson, I told you all before, he's got some family ties to Buffalo. I know some people here related to him. And I do know that, you know, that's just a it's a disappointing night not to go in the first round. Now, it doesn't mean he's not going to go in the second round. You think he probably will. But when you think about corners on the board, corners taken and corners not taken, and you get through the entire first round and Will Johnson's not taken, that tells you there is way more of a concern about his knee than any of us would have thought or known going into the draft. Because that is a clear, not only first round talent, but probably middle first round talent, top half of the first round talent in Will Johnson. Once the Chargers passed on Will Johnson, you knew something was happening. And the reason for that is that's his old college coach, Jim Harbaugh, who brought him to Michigan. So if you wanted Will Johnson, I totally understand, but just understand this. It's not just the Bills. It's 32 other teams, essentially, who said, we're not taking him. And I think you need to respect that from the standpoint of the things we don't truly know about the medicals on these guys. Derek Harmon, a guy I thought would be a really good... People ask me, what's the dream scenario for the Bills? Leading up to the draft, I kept mentioning, I think Derek Harmon would be a great fit. I would love Derek Harmon, the defensive tackle from Oregon. Some questions about his shoulder. And he did slip a little bit. He goes to the Steelers at 21. I guess you could say he slipped a little bit. I had him at 17. I think some people had him higher. Clearly, I think the shoulder was a bit of an issue. And now we have a report from Andrew Filippone out in Pittsburgh who says, let me read this for you. This is coming from his colleague, Adam Crowley, who says Derek Harmon has a labrum issue that's going to eventually require surgery. So, yeah. All right. Just finding out now, we are going to get our Kentucky guest. I'm just going to DM him as I'm on the air. I'm going to say, hey, need your phone number. There you go. I'm not going to read his phone number on the air, by the way. Ha! There you go. And his name is Aaron Gershon. He is a Kentucky basketball and football beat writer for, I love this name of this outlet, Josh. You ready? The Cat's Paws 247, but the pause is P-A-U-S-E. The Cat's Paws 24/7.
That's pretty good. I like wordplay like that. It's always,
I know,
like,
right?
Like the Check the Mic podcast, but it's M-I-C. Yes. Like those are good.
Yes. I like it. So there you go. This is The Cat's Paws, and it's Aaron Gershon. He's going to join us at 11 a.m. We're going to talk with him about the Bills' first-round pick, Max Hairston. All right, so we'll get a little bit more intel on the Bills' first-round pick at 11 a.m. We'll hear from Max Hairston himself at 10:30. So we'll play Max Hairston, his Zoom call last night at 10:30. Let's take a look at the Bills' roster right now and where Max Hairston fits in. I look at this cornerback group and think, and I think, It's better right now than it was when the season ended. I'll say that. And partly for that, it's not just a name. I think because Rasul Douglas just didn't have the season a lot of people, myself included, thought he would have. Right? Rasul Douglas just didn't have the best season. And I think at the end of the season, you saw that that was the case. Remember what happened when Christian Benford went down in the Kansas City Chiefs AFC Championship game against the Bills. The Bills had to turn to Kyrie Elam. That did not go well. What the Bills have essentially done at cornerback is they have, this offseason, they literally traded Kyrie Elam, but they have traded Kyrie Elam and Rasul Douglas for Dane Jackson, Tre'Davious White, and Max Hairston. I don't know how you could say they didn't get better there. The question is what the ceiling is for that, and if they can be so much better to make a difference in games and big games and big plays. That's the question. But certainly the floor's been raised at corner. I don't think there's any question there. When you go from Rasul Douglas, who at the end of the year last year could say, man, what does he have left? He just didn't have quite the same year. And then from there, your next guy in line is Kyrie Elam. And by the way, Jamarcus Ingram's still there. You know I love Jamarcus Ingram, but you know, he plays a different role where he does different things. I thought Jamarcus should have maybe played even in that game against Kansas City on the outside. But either way, he's still on the roster. He has been on the roster. But the Bills have now traded, essentially, on their roster, Kyrie Elam and Rasul Douglas for Dane Jackson, Tre'Davious White, and and now Max Hairston. I think this closes the door on Rasul Douglas's return, by the way, if it hadn't already been closed before. And by the way, they also have, of course, Taron Johnson, one of the best nickel corners in the league, still playing the nickel corner. His backup would be Cam Lewis. So if you look at this corner room, last night, let's see if you agree with this. We did an Always Game Day in Buffalo podcast last night, me and Matt Bove. So media was done. We hear from Brandon Bean. We hear from Max Hairston. It was 1 o'clock in the morning. We record It's Always Game Day in Buffalo. By the way, it's up. You can listen to it. It's about 20 minutes long. And hopefully you give a listen. Always Game Day in Buffalo. Head to my YouTube page, at Sal Sports. You get our thoughts on it. But in that podcast, Matt Bove said he believes you could actually look at the Bills' cornerback room as a strength now. As a strength. It's not just that it got better. It's actually like a strength of the team. I don't know if I'd go that far because I still have questions about corner. It certainly can be. It might be. It could be a strength. Again, the way I look at it is the floor has been raised. I think the depth is better. The question is going to be what kind of ceiling you can get from this cornerback room. Because with Tre'Davious White, his injuries, his age, I don't know if you're going to really get to quite the ceiling that you might want from a true starting corner. But I think you could rely on him to come in, to play, to be able to kind of have a steady presence. And the same thing with Dane Jackson. Dane Jackson can play in this league. We've seen that. He's started for the Buffalo Bills. He's started in big games for the Buffalo Bills. But he's always been kind of a safer play, a safer floor, high floor guy, low ceiling. I think that's what the Bills have opposite Christian Benford. Even Christian Benford is kind of like that. Like, Christian Benford doesn't make these wild plays. He's just really, really good. Really good. The question I have about corner is how high can they get as far as their ceiling? What kind of playmaking can they have? That's where they need Max Hairston to be that guy. They need Max Hairston to come in here and make plays. Take the ball away. Be a guy that you say, you know what? Like, every few weeks, he's good for making a big play on a ball, maybe an interception. And in a key moment. Like, that's the kind of guy you need. And you hope for. Because I don't think they had that last year. But Matt said he thinks it could be even considered a strength. And I understand that. I do want to talk about the safety position. There was a lot of talk about that yesterday. I was very steadfast here on WGR that the Bills were not going to take a safety. A lot of you thought they might take Malachi Starks. You wanted him to. There was a lot of people linking the Bills to Malachi Starks. I guess we'll never know unless we actually find out someday from Brandon Bean. I still don't. I'm pretty confident in saying they would not have taken Malachi Starks, even if he was on the board. I said it yesterday. I gave my reasons why. I still believe that. Now, they still have a safety out there named Nick Emmemwori. Now that you've filled the corner spot and some of the defensive tackles are gone, could I see it? Sure. I still think it's less likely, though. I don't think they're taking Nick Emmemwori in the second round, but it wouldn't stun me at this point. It would have really surprised me to take a safety in the first round, but given how the board is falling now, some of the D tackles that are gone, the corner position filled, I could see it. And he's a freak show athlete. He's incredible, his traits. And they do want to use, I think, more big nickel. I still think it's less likely, though, than front seven. To me, front seven is the concentration for tonight because it's always been a concentration for the first couple of rounds, first three rounds. I said going into the draft, I predicted that all three of the Bills' first three picks, if they stay relatively where they are, would be all defense, and they would get two front seven guys, two defensive linemen specifically, and a corner. Well, so far the corner's there. I still think two defensive linemen are coming. That's the way I look at it right now. I have a Twitter poll up. Go to Sal Sports on Twitter. You can vote in it. What will the Bills do with their two second rounders? Trade both, stay at both, trade either 56 or 62. Vote in that. We'll take a timeout. When we come back, the newest Buffalo Bill, Max Hairston, his Zoom call last night. We'll replay that with the local media here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Okay, back here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, Sal Capaccio with you. We have some more stuff going on tonight when it comes to Jeremy and Joe. They're going to be at Whalen Brewing. So make sure you head on out there tonight. Check them out. They'll be a part of our draft coverage as well. So that'll be really cool tonight for another night of fun with Jeremy and Joe. In the meantime, who will they be talking about at picks 56 and 62? We know who they got to talk about at 30, and they will again tonight, Max Hairston. And after the first round ended last night, or after he was picked, I should say, Max Hairston joined the local media for a Zoom call. Here he is.
All right, Max, congratulations. What were your emotions, your thoughts when you got the call and you were selected by the Bills?
Man, my emotions were, like, uncontrollable. Like, I told myself I wasn't going to cry when I got the call, but as soon as I seen Buffalo Bills, I bursted out crying. I'm just so happy and so thankful and so blessed to be able to, you know, continue my career in the NFL, and I'm so excited to get to work.
Can you take us through your conversations with the team leading into the draft, any meetings you had, phone calls, anything of that nature?
So the Bills were actually my first formal meeting at the Combine, and I think it went great. And then I had a top 30 visit with them, and, man, I was blown away. Like, I enjoyed every second of that. Every coach, my position coach, the DC, the head coach, the GM, like, man, I got along with everybody, and it just felt like home. And I'm so excited that really made it happen.
What do you bring to the table?
I bring juice. I bring being a good teammate. I bring leadership, and I'm going to bring Josh Allen the ball back.
Hi, Max. Sal Capaccio here, WGR Radio in Buffalo. Congratulations on being selected by the Bills.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You got it. All right. Tell us about Ray Davis, your connection to him, what you know about the Buffalo Bills through Ray Davis. He had a bunch of eyeball emojis when he knew that you were being selected on social media.
Tell Ray Davis I'm moving in. That's like my brother, though. Like, he was on the call with Coach Merrill when I got picked, and I'm just so happy to be reunited with him. That's a great teammate, and I know that he's going to be someone that, hey, I can ask a bunch of questions with, and he's going to help me out. He's going to guide me, and we're going to ball together. I can't wait.
As far as a scheme fit, comfortability playing zone, man-to-man, I know you've played a little bit of everything, but can you just kind of speak to what you what you do as far as how it goes with zone or man-to-man defense?
See, I feel like I'm so versatile that I can come out, play man, or I can play zone. I can play off man. I can play press man. You know, I can disguise. So I'm happy to just be able to go into an organization with a beautiful scheme that will allow me to get the ball back.
All right, so I know you said you prefer Max. I'm reading on your PR notes here. It says, nickname is Mad Max. Is that correct?
Sure.
And
yes,
how did
sir.
That come about?
So that actually came about back in Little League. I was a lot smaller growing up. But my coach always said, like, hey, he might be small, but you're not going to run over him. You're not going to bully him. He was like, that's Mad Max right there. And I was like, you know what? I like that. That's going to stick with me. It's fitting because when I get on the field, I really turn into Mad Max.
I love that. Well, with a guy who has a son named Max, I call him Mad Max. I appreciate that. So thank you very
yes,
much.
Sir.
All right, congratulations again.
Appreciate that.
Hi, Max. Matt Perino here from Syracuse.com. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
You know, the video of you is kind of circulating of how much you were celebrating with all the guys taken before you. I mean, the energy is, you know, it's on display. Where does that come from?
Honestly, you know, that's just how I am. I'm a very happy and energetic person. And the fact that I'm in the green room right now is just so exciting for me. And the fact that I knew majority of the guys that got picked, of course I had to show some love. Like, man, these are my brothers, man. We worked so hard for this opportunity and all hear our names called, man, it's truly beautiful. And I'm so glad that I was able to hype them up and then later on hear my name the same night. It's a blessing.
I saw in one of the draft profiles in you that your favorite player is Jalen Ramsey. And that you two players that share a similar confidence. Would you say that that's accurate? And why Jalen Ramsey?
I do say that as accurate. And particularly, I love the Jaguars, Jalen Ramsey, because he played with so much swagger, man. You knew he was that guy. You knew not to try him, man. I just want to be able to go out there with that same confidence, knowing that if you come at me, it's not 50-50. That's my ball.
Brandon talked about, you know, one of the things that people talked about during the draft process with you is maybe not being the best tackler. And he said that when they watched you on tape, there's want to, a willingness. Is that something that you embrace? Is something that you're trying to improve? And is that something that you thought that you improved at while you were at Kentucky?
Yeah, that's something that I can always improve. Everything in my game I can improve. And that's something that going to the NFL, I'm gonna still keep that dog in me. I wanna tackle. I wanna get my nose dirty. It just comes down to following through my technique and following through my coaching, and I'm gonna make it happen.
Thank you so much, Max. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Hey, Max. Catherine Fitzgerald from the Buffalo News. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I just wanted to follow up on you saying it felt like home when you came to visit here. What was it? Was it that more football-based, community-based? Like, what was it that kind of gave you that feeling?
Pretty, really both. Like, being at that facility and just meeting the whole coaching staff and even get to see some of the players, like, it just felt like I belonged there. And the facility was beautiful, too, by the way. But it just felt like that was home for me because, you know, the conversations I was having with the coaches, we were just connecting. We were just vibing. And it just, you know, I could feel safe calling them my coach. And I'm just so excited that they made it happen.
And then tell us some about your jacket. There's pictures on the inside, right?
Yeah. Pictures of the fam on the inside. You know, I had to throw my family on the inside because that's my biggest support. You know, they never missed a game coming up. And I just love them. And they all came through this process with me.
What was it like for them getting to see that you were going to wear that on draft night?
A lot of happy tears coming down.
Amazing. Thank you. Congrats.
Thank you.
Hey, Max, John Scott from the NBC affiliate here. Congratulations. Brandon mentioned you've put on some weight. What are you weighing at now? And how do you think that may affect your play compared to being a little lighter before?
I'm about 192 right now. And honestly, it's just extra armor. You know, bulk up a little bit. I can still bust a 428 right now if I wanted to.
And we've seen what you could do once the ball is in your hands. How did you develop that knack for finding the end zone, especially on the defensive side of things?
So honestly, it really all starts with preparation. You know, I'm the type of player where I think like I have to catch like a receiver because when that ball's in the air, I'm going to adjust like a receiver and take it back to the house. And my mindset when I do get an interception is score, you know, like make it easy on the offense, you know, let them chill out a little longer. Go ahead, score. Go get you one.
Appreciate it, man. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Hey, Max. Andy Young with Spectrum News. Congrats. So what has been your impression of the Bills watching from the outside and watching football games, seeing them in the playoffs, that sort of thing?
Man, I know that, hey, we just one piece away, and I feel like I'm that missing piece. I feel like this team is a Super Bowl-ready team, and we're going to go out there and attack it. And I actually got to watch them play when they came to Detroit. Ray Davis had gave me some tickets, and I seen Josh Allen go out there and put out a masterclass. And I was like, hey, I wouldn't mind that being my quarterback. And the fact that it really happened now, I'm super excited and super ready to get to work with him.
Awesome. Congrats again, man.
Thank you.
Thanks again, Max. Congratulations, and look forward to seeing you tomorrow.
Appreciate that.
All right, well, there you go. That was from last night, and Bill's PR said, look forward to seeing you tomorrow. Little indication that Max Harrison will be here at some point today to talk to the media again, tour the facilities, and, you know, we'll obviously have all that for you as well as rounds two and three tonight. Let's go to Tom, who's been waiting patiently through that. Hi, Tom. You're on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Hey, Sal. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, just a quick question. Is there any chance Isaiah Bond could be suspended by the NFL?
I don't think so. I'm not as familiar with everything going on there, but generally when guys come into the league, when there's these kinds of investigations, the league, it usually takes about a year to kind of get to them and have discipline, if I remember right. So I don't want to speak on it without knowing it, but I don't think so at this point. Who knows, though? You never know, I guess, in all these situations.
All right, thank you.
You got it. All right, so, and then, yeah, I mean, even in the NFL, you think of even the Rashee Rice stuff, like he's an NFL player, and, you know, there's no suspension yet for him, if there will be. It could be this year that something happened over a year ago, right, or last offseason, I guess. So nothing, he wasn't suspended this past year. So when there's college investigations, allegations, things that wind up happening, generally the NFL doesn't really have any say right away in that, and then as things go on and guys get in the league, there's stuff that could happen for sure. So, you know, we'll see where that goes. All right, 803-0550. Isaiah Bond, a very fast runner, obviously very fast player. He said he was going to break the combine record set by his former Texas teammate Xavier Worthy. He didn't do that, but guess what? Max Harrison, he was even faster than Isaiah Bond, 4.28. I asked on Twitter, very interesting. I asked, What did you think about at this point? I said, hey, cornerback this offseason, the Bills have essentially swapped Rasul Douglas and Kyrie Elam for Max Harrison, Tre'Davious White, and Dane Jackson. Give me your thoughts. A lot of you are very lukewarm on it. Very lukewarm. Some don't even like it. Some love it. Of course, you're going to get that, right? But a lot more of you are a little more lukewarm than I thought. I think it's definitely an upgrade, what they have. Again, my question is, I'm not telling you that this is, oh my God, they're amazing at corner. I'm not telling you that. But I think they've given themselves a chance to be a lot better, for sure. It comes down, for sure, it comes down to how good can they be? Because I do think the floor has been raised at corner, as I said earlier. To me, the depth and the floor has been raised. Is that good enough, though, to get to where you need to go to make impactful plays? That's what we need to see and remains to be seen. We'll take a timeout here. When we get to 11 o'clock, we're going to have Aaron Gershon on. Aaron covers Kentucky Wildcats football. That's where Max Hairston has played for the last 3 years. We'll get his thoughts on the Buffalo Bills' first pick last night, number 30 overall, Max Hairston. And we'll also hear a little bit later from Bills GM Brandon Bean. Stick around here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Friday, day number 2 of the NFL Draft. All right, good stuff here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Just running through some of your tweets, some of your responses to the Bills' essential trading at cornerback is what they did for Kyrie. They got Kyrie Elam and Rasul Douglas. They're gone, and now in come Max Harrison, Dane Jackson, and Tre'Davious White. I tweeted out the current Bills roster. I did put Max Harrison above those two players. I think that's fair to put him kind of as the penciled-in starter, if you will. He's got to earn the job, but that's what I did. I like some of these. Getting connected with our fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Michael tweets in. Loyal listener Mike, thanks. He says, I think Matt Bove, my host on It's Always Game Day in Buffalo, summed it up perfectly on your recap pod last night, early this morning. He said, if the Bills had these three corners in the AFC Championship game in January, it would have been a different outcome. And I think I agree. Now, listen, I don't know if it would have been a different outcome, but I certainly think they had more of an ability to be able to stop the Chiefs after Christian Benford went out if they have what they currently have in the roster versus what they had then. Because then all they had was Rasul Douglas, and then Kyrie Elam comes in. And again, we could make the argument Jamarcus Ingram should have. I understand that, and maybe that was a flaw, and you could certainly a valid criticism, but it's not the way it worked out. And now, if you have that situation, and Christian Benford goes out, you have Max Harrison, Dane Jackson, Tre'Davious White, and Jamarcus Ingram. You know, who knows, you know, how that shakes out. I get that point, and I think that could very well be true. 803-0550, if you want to jump on board in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. The first round surprise last night, two of them, I think for most people. Number one, that the Browns traded out of number two. Now, it didn't become a surprise later in the night when people thought that could happen. But I did not think the Browns would give up on a talent like, or trade out of a talent like Travis Hunter. And I think it's a mistake to do so. I understand their thinking, though. They're trying to rebuild. They need more picks. They're probably loading up to get a quarterback next year and a much better quarterback class. Totally fine. I understand it. Travis Hunter, to me, is a generational talent. And I think he's the best overall football player in this entire draft. And the Browns had him right there staring him in the face, and they didn't take him. So I think that's a miss. I think it's a mistake. Could very well wind up being a really great move for them. And again, I understand one player is not going to make your team, and they need more than that. So from that standpoint, I get it. For Jacksonville, they get Travis Hunter now. They're certainly going to have to play him both ways. You don't trade up to number two and give up what they gave up to not play him both ways. But I want to see how this works because they do have talent on that team. But man, they didn't have a good year last year, partly because they had some injuries. They didn't have depth, and they're hurting their depth by doing this as well. So that's going to be interesting for them. The other was Shedeur Sanders. Some people had him out of the first round, like didn't have him in the first round. I think more so than him not going in the first round, the surprise might have been Jackson Dart going before him and a team trading back into the draft, the Giants, into the first round to actually take Jackson Dart even before Shedeur Sanders went and he was still on the board. That might have been more of the surprise. And there's been a lot about Shedeur Sanders. He's very polarizing. I feel bad. I think he's he seems like a really great kid. And I understand that he has this name and he can be polarizing because of that. And people don't like all the fanfare he's gotten. And that's totally understandable. But man, you work your whole life. You get to this point. You think you're going to be drafted. You have a draft party and it goes like that on national television. Yeah, that's tough, right? But he's going to go tonight, I would think. And the most likely spots would be, what, Pittsburgh still? Cleveland? New Orleans? All the same teams we talked about because they didn't draft quarterbacks other than the Giants last night. So we'll see where Shedeur Sanders goes. That'll be tonight. Draft starts at 7 tonight. We covered same crew as last night. Nate Geary, Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, TJ Luckman. They're going to be bringing it all to you. I'll be down at One Bills Drive. We'll take a timeout. When we come back, Aaron Gershon joins us. He covers the Kentucky Wildcats, and we'll get the information from him that we need to know about the Bills' newest player, cornerback Max Hairston.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
All right, rolling along here on a Friday on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you. Glad to be with you. The Bills select Max Hairston with the 30th overall selection in the 2025 NFL Draft, the fastest player in the draft this year, at least at the Combine. And like I said, I don't think anybody who wasn't at the Combine is actually faster. He ran a 4.28 40-yard dash. By the way, he's 5'11", but he also has pretty long arms, 31-inch arms, and he had the 12th highest vertical jump as well at 39.5 inches. This is an athlete, this is a playmaker, and this is a guy that's going to come in and right away compete for a starting job on a team that, you know, went to the AFC Championship game, has won 5 division championships in a row, and you could argue the only spot on this team that actually has an opening to compete for a true starting job. That's what the Bills did. They went out and got a guy that they think can do that starting, you know, right away when he comes in here for rookie OTAs and OTAs and minicamp and all that. So we'll see how it all turns out for Max Hairston. Joining me right now on the Western Hotline, a guy that's covered Max Hairston in Kentucky, Aaron Gershon. Aaron is a Kentucky football beat writer for the Cat's Paws 24/7. I love it and believe in Kentucky. Aaron, it's Sal Capaccio here in Buffalo. Thanks for joining me here today.
Hey, happy to join. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you got it, man. All right, Max Hairston. And by the way, we are calling him Max. I don't know if you guys did very often there, but he said to us on a Zoom call last night when we asked, would you like to be Max or Maxwell? He said Max. So that's what we're rolling with here in Buffalo.
That's correct.
All right. I love it.
You got it right.
All right. So tell me a little bit about what the Bills are getting in Max Hairston overall as a football player on the field and what you've seen from him at Kentucky.
Yeah, I think you talked about it off the jump there. Speed is the first thing that stands out. He has the ability to keep up with just about every receiver he lines up against. And that was something that Kentucky identified him early on. Kentucky, in the Mark Stoops era, they really, really valued length at defensive back. So you look at Maxwell Hairston, and the length doesn't jump off the page. He's only 5'. You go look at corners like Lonnie Johnson, who's still in the NFL. He's 6'4".
You know what? Aaron, we're having a bit of a connection problem. You keep jumping in and out. So if we could reconnect with him, Josh, and maybe Aaron can, if he's in a different spot. I don't know if it's us or him, but if we could do that, maybe we could have you give him a call back. Do you still have his number there, Josh? Just want to make sure. Are you good on that? You still have his number? Do I have to send that to you again? I think you have it. So Josh will try and hook up Max Hairston. And again, we'll call him Maxwell once in a while. But Max Hairston has said what he wants to go by, so he prefers that. We'll roll with that. He is the fastest player in the 2025 NFL Draft. Ran a 4.28 40-yard dash at the Combine. 39-inch vertical. Again, athletic traits off the charts. Only 192 pounds, which obviously could be an issue when it comes to tackling. It has been, but we got Aaron back now. Hopefully a better connection there, Aaron. I apologize for that.
Yeah.
You were telling us about Mark Stoops and how they value length at the corner position.
Yeah, they really do value length at the corner position, you know, especially when they had things rolling from a winning standpoint, kind of 2018 to 2021 area. A lot of long corners, a lot of guys who are 6'2 and taller. Lonnie Johnson's a guy that's still floating around in the NFL. He's 6'4". Those were kind of the prototypes they were looking for. But with Max, The speed and the athleticism to keep up with just about every receiver, and then those extremely long arms that you talked about there off the jump, kind of let him kind of be an outlier for what Mark Stoops and company trust. So the speed is the first thing that stands out. And then it's just the ball skills. I mean, this is a guy that led the SEC in interceptions in 2023, a guy who's always around the football, just seems to have a knack for it. He became, I believe, the first player in program history in 2023 in a win over Vanderbilt to have two pick sixes in a game. So he's not just a guy that can go get it. When he gets it, he's a home run threat. You know, he had a pick at Georgia that year in a game that Carson Beck would go look, and probably the best game he had in his college career. Max Harrison still had a pick in there. And then this past year he dealt with, we didn't get a clear, diagnosis or just what exactly it was, but he had an infection in his shoulder. So he didn't play the full season, but even early on before he went down, he played through it for a game. And in the game he played through it, he had a pick six. So it's just a guy who's always around the ball, makes up for the lack of height with really great athleticism and long arms, and just a winner.
Yeah, and the ball skills, obviously something the Bills really covet, and they were great at last year taking the ball away, but the speed is something that they really need to help out in the back end. Now, going along with that speed, Brandon Bean said you could see his recovery speed as well. If he gets beat, he can recover. Yeah. It's a guy that, you know, he can really kind of play all parts of the field, if you will, and that includes man-to-man and zone. Can you talk about his scheme versatility and how he could fit here in Buffalo, a team that mainly plays zone but does sprinkle in man-to-man?
Yeah, Kentucky plays a lot of zones, so I'm sure that was something they saw on tape that was attractive to them. I mean, Kentucky runs a very pro-style offense and defensive scheme. That's something they've kind of prided themselves on to try to attract recruits to say, hey, you know, our schemes are very similar to the concepts you're going to see in the NFL. Kentucky's defensive coordinator, Brad White, spent a good while, with the Indianapolis Colts. So there's, you know, a lot of familiarity there. And so they don't play all that much man, to be honest with you, at Kentucky. I saw him a lot more in zone than I did in man. So it should be a comfortable adjustment for him. But the recovery point by Brandon Bean is spot on. There's definitely been times in the limited times we've seen him in man, and that's probably because they don't play it that often, that he has gotten beat down the field, but he does have the speed to recover. And it's something, too, where it's been a confidence thing for him. I mean, to give you a story on kind of the character and the redemption and the never give up that Max Harrison has, his very first play here at Kentucky, redshirted in 2021. In 2022, they're leading by three against Vanderbilt at home. Vanderbilt hadn't won an SEC game in 26 tries. Carrington Valentine, who's now a corner for the Green Bay Packers, goes down, and Max Harrison, who hadn't played all year, is thrusted into action, and he gets beat on a go ball on 4th and 11. It ends up being a 40-yard game, and Kentucky ends up losing the game, and he doesn't see the field the rest of the year. I kind of thought maybe he's going to transfer out. Maybe he just doesn't want to be remembered for that moment. He comes back the next year, he wins the starting job. And that just never happened again. And he's going up against, you know, he ends up winning Kentucky's not only a starting cornerback job, he ends up being the cornerback one. He's going up against guys like Luther Burden, Dominic Lovett over at Georgia, all these stud receivers all year long. And that never happened again. So it's really impressive what he's been able to do.
Aaron Gershon joining me here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. All right, the knock on Max Harrison is not a great tackler, not great in run support, partly because he's a smaller guy, right? He said he's 192 pounds. The Bills really do want to have guys that can do that. Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean, they like corners who can support against the run. But Brandon Bean said it's not because he's not willing, and it's not because of lack of effort.
Right.
It's just because maybe he needs to get a little bit bigger. What did you see from him in that regard, the willingness and the ability?
Yeah, the willingness, I would agree. 90% of the time it's been there. I can think of one play where he did give up a little bit, and it was frustrating for Kentucky staff. It was actually in his very last game. He also, again, had that shoulder injury. I don't know if he was just trying to protect his shoulder there, but ended up, it should have been a 5-yard gain for Louisville, ended up being a 30 or 40 yard run instead of a touchdown drive. But aside from that, I mean, again, he probably was protecting himself knowing his character. He definitely is a willing run defender. He's a guy that gives it his all, but you're right. The size and then maybe some of the strength hurts him there a little bit. At the same time, though, Kentucky doesn't really ask too much from its outside corners in run support. I mean, obviously, if a runner gets to the edge and you have to make a play, sure, but you know, Kentucky asks a lot of their slot corners in that regard. That's what Andrew Phillips, who got drafted by the Giants last year, probably ended up getting picked for. He was a great, great run defender coming up from the corner spot. So, you know, Max, he's definitely willing. He's definitely able. It's just a matter of adding some strength there, I think. And it'll be interesting. Maybe in practice, he's very close with Ray Davis. So Ray Davis is a hard guy to bring down. Hopefully that's something they could rut together and get figured out.
Yeah, last night we learned a little bit more about that. First of all, Ray Davis tweeted eyeball emojis before the pick. So we all kind of said, ooh, is this a Kentucky guy?
And that was us first. Yep.
And that was Harrison. And then we learned that Max went to the Bills game in Detroit last year and Ray got him tickets.
Yeah.
And Max told us that's when he first saw Josh Allen. And he's like, I would love to have that guy as my quarterback.
Yeah, he definitely is very close with Ray. And talk about two of the guys that I've covered in my 7 years here at Kentucky that have just been a pleasure to work with and have great stories and personalities and are just genuine dudes. It's Ray Davis and Max Harrison are probably two of the top names that come to mind for me, up with like Josh Hines Allen. I mean, they are just great guys, and that was really cool to see. I wasn't aware of that that dynamic there going up to Detroit until he posted that yesterday. So really cool stuff there. And, yeah, I mean, look, Kentucky, you know, his first year here, Will Levis was quarterback. Levis was banged up that year. It wasn't the same guy as he was in 21, but Kentucky's had some frustrating years offensively. I'm sure he'll be happy to get there with a team in Buffalo that is going to put up a lot of points.
I want to ask you about another guy from Kentucky in a minute, but on Max Harrison, one more on him, the off the field, seems like his personality is just infectious. See, in fact, he was, I think last night, like hugging everybody who was drafted before him, tapping him up, right? It seemed like he was already a great teammate just being in the green room, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah, you know, most of those guys who are especially late first-round picks or maybe they fall to the second round and they look miserable, right? We've seen the clips of Aaron Rodgers a gazillion times, Will Levis a couple of years ago here from Kentucky, just named Lamar Jackson. I remember him almost falling asleep in the green room. Like all these guys who fall later than they should, usually the body language is not that great. But no, Max Harrison, like you said, he's up there dapping up every single guy, probably from teams that he thought maybe were going to call his name and they didn't. They picked someone else and there's no hard feelings. He's just everyone's biggest fan. And that's how he was here. I mean, he just has an infectious personality. He's a guy that's just universally loved in that building. And I think that's kind of what, you know, helped him again overcome that one play in 22 that, you know, that's what the fans remembered. That's what the only tape he had that year, like their odds were kind of stacked against him, but you know, he was just a guy that was so beloved in that building that the coaching staff was never going to give up on that, along obviously with his talent, and you know, it paid off for everyone.
All right, so could the Bills double dip on Kentucky in this draft? I think it's possible because the Bills are still looking for an interior defensive lineman, a defensive tackle, and maybe a bigger body. Deion Walker, 6'7", 331. All right, so tell us a little bit about him because that could be a guy down the road here in the next few rounds that could be on the radar.
Yeah, that's a guy that I would throw last year out the window for him. I really would, because he played through a nasty back injury, I think. And that just shows that he's willing to put it all on the line. I mean, look, Kentucky was first of all, he was almost a five-star prospect, and he picked Kentucky over Michigan and Georgia, Ohio State, all the big programs. All the big programs wanted him to hit the portal and leave. He stuck with it, just a completely loyal guy. And then he's playing, I forgot exactly what he said his back injury was, but it was pretty serious. And he suited up, you know, 11 to 12 games. He sat out, you know, a cupcake game against Murray State late. But otherwise, he was out there giving it all he possibly had last year. So for me, that's enough to feel really good about his character. And then in 2023, I mean, he was the best interior defensive tackle in the SEC for my money. I mean, you're talking about a guy at that size. And I mean, he's listed at 331. I think he's even bigger than that. He's a mammoth of a human. If he gets up there in Buffalo and you get around him, you'll see that. But, you know, he's a guy with 7.5 sacks at that size, was in the backfield, feels like every single play, just a game wrecker that you had to double and triple team to survive against that year. There's a play, in 2023, if he gets drafted, I'm sure it'll be on all the networks, they'll show it, against Florida in 2023, where they dropped him back in coverage. He knocks out the tight end, and it leads to a just a ball that's up for grabs, and Kentucky's Trevin Wallace is now with the Panthers, grabbed it for a pick. I mean, he's just a freak athlete, extremely strong, quick feet for a guy of that stature. So, I mean, obviously the back injury is a concern. I'm sure it's flagged by multiple teams. If it's something that's still lingering, you know, then I take back throwing out last year. But if, assuming health there, I mean, that's a guy who, I'm a Giants fan, and he reminds me of Dexter Lawrence. Like, if they, I'm not saying he's going to go be Dexter Lawrence. That's not right at all what I'm saying. But that's the only guy I can compare him to watching another NFL player, just because of the size, the length, and then the speed he has for a man that's that big. That's the only guy I can put my finger on comparing him to. And I think that was kind of the consensus on him, you know, going into his junior year, and then the back injuries and the lack of production. He's also triple teamed on just about every play because Kentucky's defense really struggled last year. Aside from him, well, really everyone struggled. So teams were just triple teaming him and letting anyone else beat them. So it just, you know, I want to hope. I hope for his sake, because I spent a lot of time with him. I did a feature on him. I hope for his sake he's fully healthy and ready to go, because I know he's a dynamic player and can be a dominant player if he is healthy.
Well, since you opened the door here, Aaron, you say you're a Giants fan and you've watched Kentucky, obviously, now Jackson Dart. He played against Kentucky. He was down there, Ole Miss. Your thoughts on the Giants going back into the first round and grabbing Jackson Dart?
I wasn't thrilled on that one. I hope I'm wrong.
Really?
I mean, Dual Carter, very, very happy with that. Yeah, I've seen Jackson Dart in person twice, and I wasn't impressed either time. I mean, Kentucky, talk about Deion Walker. That was his best game of his season last year. He just made life miserable for Ole Miss. I mean, that was the one game where he looked healthy. I don't think he ended up with a sack in that game, but he was in the backfield. He had a couple quarterback hits. He was really good in the run game, and Lane Kiffin talked about it on and on after the game. But, yeah, look, the thing that worries me most with Dart, I don't necessarily doubt his capabilities throwing the ball or, you know, having a strong arm. I like the way he runs it. My big thing is that offense at Ole Miss, it's very, very simplified. Like, it is a lot of RPO, a lot of play action, and you go to your first read or you go to your second read. It is just, it's kind of similar to Tennessee, where it's so fast-paced and just very simplified. It's great for college because it's really easy for the players to get lined up. It's really easy for the players to execute and really hard for the defenses to stop because they go so darn fast. But it doesn't necessarily always translate to the NFL. I mean, you look at Jalin Hyatt. He was a wide receiver out of Tennessee that won the Biletnikoff Award 2 years ago, and he did it mostly running straight lines past the defense. He goes to the NFL with the Giants, and he can't run routes. So I hope that, you know, Brian Daboll, I still have a lot of faith in him despite what happened. I know you guys love him up there in Buffalo. I'm hoping that a year sitting behind Russell Wilson, Jameis Winston, working with Brian Daboll, you know, they get the best out of him. Trust me, I'd love to be wrong, but I was honestly okay with them passing on a quarterback this year, as crazy as that sounds, but I just didn't love this draft class outside of Ward.
All right. Well, listen, Aaron, thank you so much. Really appreciate you joining us today to give us a little bit, especially on late notice. I mean, I got out of the media room last night. I said at like 1:30 in the morning, and this morning I'm like, I got to find somebody to talk about this kid, Max Hairston. So look at, who knows, if they do draft Deion Walker or anybody else from Kentucky, I might reach out to you again, and we'll talk again next week.
No, please do. That'd be great. I appreciate it.
All right. You got it, Aaron. Thank you very much. That is Aaron Gershon, and he is on Twitter at A. Gershon 99. Thanks a lot for him to him for joining us here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. 803-0550 is the number to call. You want to join us here to talk about and give your thoughts on the Bills drafting Max Hairston, the 30th overall selection. I got up this morning. First thing I said to my son, hey, the Bills got a guy named Max, and they call him Mad Max. How cool is that? And then I talked about it with my wife, Yana, and she says to me, she says, this is wild, Josh. My wife goes, didn't the Bills have a guy with the last name Hairston? I'm like, maybe. And she goes, no, I think they did, right? Chris. I said, I think you're right. I go back and remember, that's right, Chris Hairston. My wife knew this. She's like, I remember him. 2011 through 2014. He was only here for a cup of coffee, 3-4 years. Well, it wasn't a cup of coffee. 3-4 years, offensive lineman, then he wound up going to the Chargers. How about that? Pretty cool, huh, Josh?
Yeah, that's really interesting. I didn't even know about that till right now, so that's pretty cool. Fourth rounder in 2011.
Well, she knew that, and I didn't know that. That was, shout out to Yana for knowing and remembering a Bills player named Chris Hairston, who was with the Bills. I actually remember Chris Hairston, believe it or not. What I do remember about him was when he left the Bills, he went to the Chargers, and then he was on social media, and he kind of wasn't too kind to the Bills, but it was a time where the Bills were still in the drought. You know what I mean? Like when that happened, and then ultimately, obviously, that changed. But yes, that was a player that played for the Bills. I went back and looked. There's not a ton of guys in the last name Hairston, but there have been several in the NFL. In the meantime, Max Hairston joins the Buffalo Bills, and he really enters a cornerback room that needed some speed, as Brandon Bean said, needed some playmaking. I know the Bills led the league in turnovers last year, but they really didn't get a ton of interceptions from their corners. It's not, they got more from their safeties, DeMar Hamlin, Taylor Rapp. This is a guy that, with the ball skills he has, I think has the ability to be able to do that. And that's where this is going to lie for me. You know, if you do I like the pick? Sure. I mean, the Bills needed a guy like this for that purpose. I have no idea how it's going to turn out, but I will tell you this. I like the floor of the cornerback room being raised this offseason. How high the ceiling can be is really going to be up to Max Hairston, and I think that's the only guy. Because I don't expect Tre'Davious White's ceiling to be that high anymore. Certainly not Dane Jackson. We know what he is. Floor, good. Ceiling has to be reached by Max Hairston, or you're not getting to where you need when you take a guy 30th overall at that position. That has to happen. And we'll see if that does here early. That'd be great. Can he start week one? That'd be amazing. Because if he does, and you're comfortable with that, now you know you have two bookend corners for the next 5 years. That would be the best scenario for the Buffalo Bills. In the meantime, round number two, round number three, tonight, I put a poll up at Sal Sports on Twitter. Go check it out. I always say it's Twitter still. You know what I mean. It's X, it's Twitter, whatever. I have a poll up, and the poll is, in the second round, the Bills will stay at 56 and 62, trade 62, trade 56, or trade both. Right now, 44.5% of you say they're going to stay with both picks. I think they're going to trade one. Which one? You know what? I'm going to say 56. I'll go with it. I'll say they'll trade 56. That's my prediction. No idea. What's really crazy is exactly 19.4% of the close to 2,000 votes have the exactly 19.4 say they're going to trade 62 and trade 56. Like, there's 19.4% of you who say they're going to stay at one and trade the other, and then exactly the same percentage have it flipped. It's wild. So we'll see what they do here in the second round and the third round of the 2025 NFL Draft. All right, we'll take a timeout. When we come back, Bills general manager Brandon Bean last night hit the podium after the Bills made Max Hairston the 30th overall selection. We'll bring that to you, Brandon Bean, after this timeout on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. All right, we have your ticket to 8 amazing golf experiences with the WGR VIP golf card. For just one low price of $129, unlock a season of golfing adventures, including Diamond Hawk, Shamrock Hills, Attica's 10th Hole and Golf Course, Bobolink, and Golf Dojo. Your WGR VIP golf card also hooks you up with free box of premium Vero X1 golf balls from Encore Golf, and score deals at Rick Zurek Golf Warehouse on Transit Road in Bowmansville. A portion of the proceeds are going to benefit PGA Hope. Get all the details and purchase your WGR VIP golf card today at getmyperks.com. I've had a few people tweet at me getting connected with our fans at brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com about Tre'Davious White and or, but especially White, Dane Jackson moving to safety. It's not happening, folks. Brandon Bean has already said they're not doing that with Tre'Davious White. And it's certainly, I certainly can't see it with Dane Jackson at this point. He's a lot younger and he's only played corner and I don't think that's his game. I mean, as these guys get older, that does happen sometimes. But Brandon Bean said, when he was asked about it last week, he said, would he put it back past Tre'Davious White to be able to do it if ever asked? No, but it's not the plan for the Bills. They're not moving Tre'Davious White to safety. They're not moving Dane Jackson to safety. The guy at corner that can play safety is Jamarcus Ingram, actually. Like, you don't have to worry about, you don't have to think about White or Jackson doing it. Jamarcus Ingram's actually a guy that has a little more flexibility and versatility than those guys. So it's not going to be that. And Cam Lewis, obviously, is a safety who can play slot corner and even play outside in a pinch. I do think safety is an area they do look at in the draft, but I've never believed, and I said this yesterday, we had a big debate on it, big talk about it. I never believed the Bills were going to do it early, and I still don't think they're going to do it tonight. I think it's something they do Saturday. Brandon Bean talked about Max Harrison, the cornerback the Buffalo Bills took 30th overall last night following the first round. Here he is.
I thought there would be some good options for us tonight. You know, we didn't necessarily think we would need to trade back or trade up, and being patient, you know, paid off. I know I usually do trade, but we had opportunities both ways, but liked what was there and yeah, a guy like Max, you don't know that he's going to fall that far. We had him in for a 30 visit, been around him a few times, great young man. Yeah, you know, if you guys were watching the TV, you could see his infectious personality and smile, and he's a good kid. He'll add obviously speed to our DB room, and we think he'll pair well with what we already have. Yeah, I mean, we have a couple guys that go in there. Pete Harris has probably been in there the most, but yeah, I mean, Pete, you know, very high on him, you know, through the process and all the things. I mean, that's, you don't end up in with a first round grade, you know, like this guy had, you know, if your area scout's kind of down on him. So yeah, it's been all positive. Like I said, our interactions with him, whether it was in Indy or for a 30 visit, all been great.
So obviously, what are his best traits? And obviously, he cleared the tackling bar for you. What do you think of his tackling?
Yeah, I mean, I think he is a willing tackler. He has played at a lighter weight. He was playing in the 180s. You know, he's in the 190s now. He's beefed up a little bit. I think he'll be able to still carry that weight and carry the speed. He knows that. I don't think it's sometimes, you know, when we're grading guys, Mark, it's effort, like willing, you know, are you a willing tackler? He is definitely a willing tackler. Did he get big boy once in a while or bounce off? Yes. But he's willing. We'll continue to, you know, he's young, he's 21, be 22, I think. So we'll continue to get him in our weight program and get him sturdy, but it's not from a lack of effort, and he's got the obviously coverage skills, ball skills that you look for in a corner.
How much does it help to have Tre'Davious back and Dane?
Yeah, I think that's great. I mean, that's why you bring a Dane, who we brought back first, and then Tre'Davious the other day. So we feel good that we've got guys there if Maxwell's not ready. It'll be an open competition like we do everywhere of who will win that job opposite Christian, and you know, may the best man win. And yeah, maybe even if he doesn't win it right away, maybe, you know, more time on task, he gets in there later in the year. But we do feel, you know, adding him, like I said, gives us something that we don't have in that room currently with the speed that he runs. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, ultimately, Tim, it's hard to win every matchup. Like, you can get a big, strong corner and he's going to struggle against the smaller, shiftier players. Is he going to get out-muscled once in a while on a jump ball against some guys? If he's going against a Mike Evans or, you know, some bigger guys like that, yes, you know, he's not going to win all those. But what you do love is his recovery speed. He doesn't panic with the ball to his back. He anticipates. He's an instinctive player. He's got a lot of good qualities. If he had that too, he probably wouldn't have been, you know what I'm saying? He probably wouldn't have been down there at 29. He'd have probably been up there in the top 5 or 10.
What about the movement that happened right before you? How did that change how you're processing the board, and were you involved in maybe some of that?
As far as teams, trades? Yeah, we were having conversations with people more behind us. You know, people come up, some of the teams that ended up coming up, checking in, but we didn't want to commit to that till we saw what was there on the board. And yeah, we had options to go back, but we had a good grade on Max, and we're excited that he was available. Yeah. Yeah, we think, first off, he can match up. You know, he's got the speed and enough size. He's not, you know, he's size is not his number one thing, but he'll be fine there. He can play off, and you know, he'll continue to work on that, but he can play with zone eyes, and so that's part of what we like about him, Sal, is the versatility.
Mark Stoops sends a lot of DBs to the pros. What about his coaching or their scheme?
Yeah, they've you know, they've done a great job. A lot of their players that come out of there are pro ready, not just DBs. And a good, you know, I know that's considered sometimes a basketball school, but they've put out some good football players. And again, we think Maxwell's going to be another one.
How important was it knowing that, you know, you moved on, you don't have Rasul back, and you moved on from here, knowing that you had an immediate hole there to be able to address it with a guy that you had a first round grade on?
Yeah, I mean, you love when the grade matches the value, it matches the need. You do. And you just don't know how it's going to fall. And again, that's why sometimes you make the decision if the grade doesn't match, maybe you trade back, you know. And so us staying there told, you know, is us saying that's where we value and we believe he fits that value, and why trade back, you know, especially when it's a position of need.
Where's that shoulder injury he dealt with?
Yeah. Yep. He's good. He's back. He as far as I, you know, as far as we know everything, he should be participating in the spring once he gets here.
Second year in a row that you took a player from Kentucky. Do you remember going back when you were scouting Ray Davis? Did anything show up for you about Maxwell that carried over this year?
Yeah, I mean, you see guys like that you're, when you're following players that are, you know, premier players, you're going, man, I mean, there's even guys this year that are true freshmen that you're going, man, that guy in 2 years. So yes, Max, the guy we've followed, we've had our eye on. And Ray, you know, we've asked Ray about him. Ray speaks very highly of him. You know, we always try to do that with the players that have played with guys on our team that know kind of the Bills culture and how we do things. And, you know, I know a guy there that was in Carolina that's in their athletic office that was with us for a couple summers, and spoke to him recently, and he raves about the character of Max, and obviously he loves the player and all that, but the person.
Is there anything that stood out about him when you were scouting him, what you saw in film or at the combine or during the meeting that said, yeah, this is a guy that he's Buffalo, you know, or Bills worthy?
I think just the speed he brings, the recovery speed, like the play, they actually showed it. We watched it with him in his indie interview in the combine. The play where he was going against Isaiah Bond. I don't know if you had on that channel. It was on upstairs. Isaiah Bond runs a post, and he's got him a couple steps on him, and he just swivels around and just takes off and breaks it up. You know, and so that's the. It's hard to have recovery speed like that. You know, when you're talking. Some guys run fast, like they run track fast, but they don't play fast. You see the, you know, I don't know if I could say 4.26, but you saw 4.3 on film as a player, and you're always looking to add speed as long as the football player matches it.
How impressed were you by his ability to take to the house when he gets the ball?
Yeah, I mean, he's, again, you go to that speed, he's got ball skills. There are guys that have speed, but they don't track it well, or they just can't make the play. He's got that. His thing he'll have to watch on. He anticipates. Sometimes those guys that anticipate, they get double moved. Now he does have the recovery speed, but that'll be one of the things that, you know, everybody's got holes in their game, right? Nothing's perfect, but he loves to make plays on the ball. He's an aggressive player, attacking the ball, which we like. And we'll just, you know, tell him to read his keys and learn. And I think Jamal Adai, you know, a year, him being here a year, did a really good job with our guys. And so I'm excited for Jamal to get his hands, you know, on Max and really get him dialed into our system and how we do things.
Now that you're through the first round, you wouldn't necessarily be giving up any inside info here. Heading into today, before the first pick goes off the board, what was your thinking or the just the philosophy of not drafting at all today because of the ability to gather assets deep onto Oakland, but then it obviously the board felt like you said, well, what was your appetite for that?
Yeah, I mean, it was there. It's really, Tim, the same appetite as it was last year. You sit there, you build your board, and you put all these hours in to get your board where, you know, for the Buffalo Bills, how you see it, how many first-round grades you have. And, you know, if you've got guys there, when your pick is up, wherever you're at 30, 28, whatever, if not, you start looking to get back. You know, maybe you would get back if you had a first-round grade and it's not a position of need at all. You're really not going to get that value out of them. You could trade back, but this was obviously a position of need. But if he was gone and we felt like, man, we've lost that value, we would have taken what we thought was the best deal to go back into round two. Yeah, fun-loving guy. You felt his personality really here on the 30 visit. Because when you're meeting these guys in Indies, it's like 15, 16 minutes. So it's speed dating. You got him here all day. You got support staff around him. And everyone talked about an infectious smile, easy to get along with, fun guy, enjoyed being at the table. Some guys, when we have three or four guys, like to be more to themselves. Max was kind of in the middle of it, a very jovial young man. And like I said, everything that we've gotten from the school matches what we saw in person. So he's a team first guy. It doesn't surprise me to hear that he was dapping guys up even when his name wasn't called.
Bean, Buffalo Bills general manager, late last night, early this morning, on the Bills' first pick in the 2025 NFL Draft, Max Hairston. A lot more on Max Hairston from One Bills Live. That's actually going to be on starting at noon today, so no Sabres Live. You'll have One Bills Live from 12 to 3. A lot more on Max Hairston and a look ahead to the second round. We'll do that when we come back here on the final segment of the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show here on WGR. Hey, join us in the fight against cancer by riding with Bulldog and WGR's Ride for Roswell team on Saturday, June 28th. Once you join our team, you'll receive an email to pick up your team t-shirt and water bottle at Tom's Pro Bikes on Walden Avenue in Lancaster. Not a rider? You can still support the cause by donating to our team and helping us reach our goal of $10,000 before the ride. Visit WGR550.com for details. All right, last couple minutes here. And then the next time I talk to you on this show will be on Monday after everything's been wrapped up with the draft. Tonight, I'll still be down at One Bills Drive. In fact, probably going down there a little bit later this afternoon because we're expecting to hear at some point from Max Hairston to talk with the local media. And then we'll get round number two going at 7 o'clock. You'll have Nate Geary, Derek Kramer, Zach Jones, TJ Luckman. They'll be in our Amherst Studios and Network Control. I'll be down there. We'll talk through everything that's going on in the second round. I think there's going to be a lot more trades coming. It always happens. Once the later the draft goes, the more rounds, the more trades you're going to get. So you never know. The Bills currently scheduled to pick 56 and 62. Vote in my Twitter poll what you think is going to happen with those picks at Sal Sports. Last night, we also heard from the league that the NFL schedule will be released on Wednesday, May 14th. Here we go, Josh. You know how much we love the schedule around here, right? Here we go.
Schedule I saw that pop May up, 14th. And I got so excited.
I know, me too. Can't wait for that. So, all right, just some house cleaning here. Make sure you head over and subscribe at Sal Sports on YouTube to the Always Game Day in Buffalo podcast and listen to it wherever you pod with myself, Matt Bove. Head over to my Twitter feed as well. Make sure you're following. Subscribe as well. If you want some exclusive stuff, we can do that. Lots going on there. And, of course, WGR550.com. So make sure you're checking out all the different platforms for all of your coverage all weekend long. It continues throughout the day today, including next up, One Bills Live starting at noon. One Bills Live 12 to 3 today. Show up in the Bulldog at 3 o'clock. Round number 2 and round number 3 tonight. I'll be down at One Bills Drive. You'll have all of your coverage here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Have a great, great weekend, everybody. I'll make sure I talk to you on Monday, and we'll get our thoughts on the 2025 Buffalo Bills draft class at that time.